Well, hello, everybody. Love you guys. So glad to be able to share the word with you tonight. And we're going to talk about, if you couldn't tell by the song, God's love. I think it's really an important issue in our lives to understand and accept unconditionally His love towards us. God's word uses the line, God's love for us, or something similar to that, in the King James Version 310 times in 280 verses. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's something that's talked about and shared with us to give us great strength and joy in our own lives. So I want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There are so many verses about this, it was kind of hard to pick the ones that to share tonight, you know, because they're all so awesome. When you start looking at these different verses, it just becomes so clear to your heart that His love for us is something that is just magnificent. I don't have the words sometimes to describe it, but this agape love is unconditional and is given to us by our Father of His own free will. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 helps to describe the attributes or the conditions that are in the love of God. And it starts with, love suffers long and is kind. This is the New King James Version, in case yours is a little different. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This is a description of God's amazing love. There are so many other words we can add to this. His love is incredible. It's unchanging. It's according to the scriptures, the agape love is the highest form of love. It is the way God loves us. It is how He has chosen to love us. It is trustworthy. It is amazing. There are words sometimes to describe it. When you just sit there and you just think about this verse of Scripture and that this is written to us because God wants us to, without a doubt in our mind, understand His love for us. Let's look at Psalm 36. Start in verse 5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. How precious, that's what God calls His love. How precious is His loving kindness towards us. This loving kindness that God shows towards us should build a deep desire of trust and thankfulness in our hearts. God is so kind and so forgiving and so faithful and trustworthy that we need to really understand this love towards us. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 5. Give you a chance to turn there. Joe, you there yet?
Ephesians 1.
Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. What I love about this verse is God chose to do this. When you have a child, decide you're going to have children, you have a child, you know how that happens. You have a child, and then you get to take care of that child until it becomes a certain age. When you adopt a child, you pick that child. You know, when we have our children, when children are born in the normal way, you don't always get to pick if it's a girl or boy or whatever. But the cool word in this verse is adoption. God chose each and every one of us as sons by Jesus Christ. Through the works and accomplishments of Jesus Christ, God chose every one of us. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a oops. It was a decision that God made because He loved us so much. He chose us as His kids. He chose us as His sons and daughters. And He chose to love us the most amazing love that can be had in this world. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 3. Let's see. Yeah, in verse 3. Did I have that right, Joe? Behold what manner of love.
Verse 1, sorry.
Okay, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. He bestowed it on us. We didn't earn it. We couldn't earn it. We didn't deserve it, that's for sure, as mankind. But He chose to do that for us. He bestowed that on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This is an amazing situation that God has put us in. And once we begin to understand that love that He has for us, there's no need to be concerned about blowing it or making bad choices. God already knows what we're going to do and not do in this life. And you know what? He loves us anyway. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Then we'll go to verse 18. Therefore, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So, you know, I had, when I came to this verse and I read it a few times, I really had to kind of take a look at my own heart, you know, because there are times when I have fears. And yet it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And I think that for me, it's like when I have that fear, I need to stop, because that's the challenge, you know. But what makes it good is that I can then reflect back on the love of God that I know about from His Word, that I've read from His Word, the promises I've read from His Word. And when you reflect back on that, you meditate on it, you think about it, the fear actually goes away. I mean, it's not something you've got to fight to make go away. I have found that as I grab my heart and my mind and take it back to the Scriptures, in any circumstance or situation, through God's Word, He's covered things that can throw us off balance, whether it's fear or whether it's anxiety or whether it's unforgiveness. Everything that could cause us not to walk as children of God, God has the answers in His Word. And it begins with how much He loves us. Any of you that are parents know this. If my son makes a mistake, the first thing I do is I want to help him. I want to be able to see if there's anything we can do to assist him. I don't think about, well, he really blew it, he should have done this, he should have done that. My heart opens up wide. And it's like, okay, what can we do for you, Josh? How can we help in this situation? What do you need from us? And I'm a human parent. God is a God. And if I love my son that much in that way, I have to remember how much more that God is capable of loving me. Even though, because we have the Spirit in us, we are capable of loving each other the same way He loves us. And that's actually what He wants us to do. So what makes it capable for me to reach out in situations like that is the love of God that is in my heart, because the Spirit of God is here. But sometimes we need to remind ourselves that that is in our heart, and not be judgmental, and not be unkind, and not be hateful in some ways. It's the love of God that makes us, that makes it available for us to love each other the way God loves us. And that is the commandment. Remember, Jesus Christ told us that you love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Those are two commandments. All the laws and prophets hang on those. What made that available for us to do is when we got the Spirit of God within us. We can love from the Spirit of God within us and not from our emotions. You know, God's love for us is not a fuzzy feeling. God's love for us is a promise of commitment and trustworthy and unconditional. And God is not a man that he should lie. He always gives us what he says he's going to give us. And this love of God enables us to do a lot of things we couldn't do if we didn't understand it and have that Spirit within us. So let's go to 1 John. Did we go to 1 John 4?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go to John, the book of John, chapter 3. How can we talk about the love of God without reading John 3:16 and 17? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What an amazing expression of God's love for us. Our hearts should be busting right now, just with these few verses that we've read. And there's so many more. But this is who our God is. This is who our Father is. This is who we serve. This is who we love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Even when we make mistakes, it doesn't matter, because he's right there to help us out of that mistake. And we need to accept this love about ourselves and not doubt that God loves us, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Another great section. And I'm sure we're all familiar with some of these verses and maybe all of these verses. And yet, I find myself doubting sometimes. I think, oh man, God, I really blew it. How can you love me when I make such a mess out of something? You know what? God just says, because I do. I chose to do that. I love you like that. I love you unconditionally. He will always bring a message to our heart, one way or another, if we keep our heads in the Word. And that's the important part of our relationship with God. It's not just about the Bible, but it is an important part to know those promises from His Word, so that when we are challenged, we can sit back and go, no, I'm not going to doubt that God loves me. I'm going to go to him. I'm going to ask him for help. I'm going to ask him for directions, even though I blew it. I don't know if you guys have trouble with this sometimes, but I do. You know, I just sometimes forget. And God doesn't want us to do that. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, starting verse 31. God's love is everlasting, you guys, no matter what. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? We're God's elect. We're his people. He chose us. He decided that we were his elect. Is it God who justifies? Who is it? Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died for, and furthermore is also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who shall make intercession for the saints? He makes intercessions for us. He's not going to be up there telling God that, but they blew this and they blew that. God is not going to be sitting there going, well, Jesus, they blew this and they blew that. That's not how it works. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, and sometimes as Vicky might think or, you know, Barney might think? No, doesn't work that way. For your sakes, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, no, we're not. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How are we more than conquerors? Here you go. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from who? Our God. They can't. It doesn't happen. We are more than conquerors in every situation, but we have to be persuaded of that in our hearts. And that love of God is the biggest persuasion in our lives. If we can focus on it really deep in our hearts, let that reign. And then we're persuaded. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be concerned about, did I do this right? Did I do that right? Did I forget this? Did I forget that? I haven't prayed much today. I mean, whatever the enemy throws at you to make you doubt that you are precious in God's sight, that his love for us is totally unconditional, totally faithful, totally what we need to have. And because we have God's Spirit in us, we are capable of loving each other that way. You know? And it doesn't matter if somebody blows it. It doesn't matter if somebody hurts your feelings. In light of rising up and being who we are in Christ, yes, you know, it hurts our feelings. People shouldn't do that. But you know what? We all blow it. There's not one of us that does not blow it. But because of that love of God that lives within us, we can forgive each other. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to close. I want to read this again because these are the attributes. These are the characteristics of someone who is persuaded of God's love, of someone who's willing to give that to others in spite of circumstances, in spite of how we feel, okay? Let's read it. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It's not jealous. Love does not parade itself. It doesn't brag. Is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. And that word, I did that word on a study on thinks no evil years ago, and I found out that word thinks is judgment. You think about this person's weakness or what this person did to you for so long that you judge them guilty. That's what that word think is in the Greek. And it's a really good study if you wanted to look at it sometime. But it thinks no evil. It's not just this thought that, oh, she hurt my feelings and I don't like that, but okay, and whatever. It's not like that. It's a judgment. You think about it and the adversary takes us to deeper parts of bad things to think about, and then you make a judgment about that person. That's what that word think is. So it's not just a fleeting thought that comes and goes sometimes, but it doesn't do that. The love of God doesn't allow itself to go there. It believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. It is amazing, you guys. It is incredible. It is freely given to us by our Heavenly Father. So I encourage you to maybe look up some verses on love this week and sit down and spend some time just telling God how much you love him and how thankful we are for this incredible amount of love that is poured into our heart and its ability to change our hearts so that we can pour it out to one another. Because that really is one of the commandments. Remember in Jesus Christ in the Gospels, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. And if we can see that love that God pours into our lives and really believe it and be persuaded of it, it's easy to give that love out to someone else. So I love you guys. I hope this blessed you. And everyone can have a great day tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
Father, I'm so thankful to you for just how much you continue to teach us and how much you magnify your word into us as we put our heads into it. And then when we fellowship with you, God, it just makes it so much sweeter and so much more enduring in our hearts because we learned about you from your word and we have this relationship with you because of what we've learned. And then you just continue to love us and teach us and give to us and support us and hold us in your arms. And it is, you're an amazing God and you're an amazing Father. And we have an amazing Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was obedient to the cross. And now he's at your right hand, and now we wait expectantly every day for his return. So I thank you, Father, for so much in our lives. I thank you for the people on this phone connection. I thank you for the love that they poured into our lives and that we get to pour into their lives. And that, Father, we just try to be shining light so that this world is not full of darkness, but it is full of your love and your light shining forth. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.